Hi, Damon Davis here, host of One on One. I want to invite you to tune in for the next half hour as we explore, well, a very important question. And the question is, are you living the life that God designed for you to live? Today's program is going to walk you through a journey of self-discovery, a journey of God discovery, a journey of how we can pattern our thinking and our living to line up with God's plan. The book you're going to discover today is called Live Your Best Life, and it is nothing less and nothing short of story after story after story of victories. And today, in this two-part program beginning right here, you're going to meet these inspiring people, my friends, all co-authors of this dynamic book, who are here to help you discover how to live your best life. Don't go away. Muhammad Ali once said, "The canvas is no place for a champion." And today I'm going to introduce you to a group of people who really took those words to heart and found the courage to get back on their feet, even after experiencing struggles, heartache, headaches, setbacks. We're talking about champions that didn't want to just survive, they wanted to thrive. Dr. Reuben West, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, sir.
It is an honor to have you, and you have brought with you, I'm going to just call it an entourage of success.
Yeah, that's right.
Let me go through my friends that are here that I want to become your friends. Roland Manny, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Carlinia Springer, did I pronounce that correctly?
Carlinia,
thank you. That is a beautiful name.
Thank you.
We have Robin Shirell. Very nice to have you today.
Thank you.
And we have Mr. Dorian Branch. This is the SWAT team.
This is the SWAT team.
And every single one of you having one thing in common, you came in contact with the master through a guy like Dr. Reuben West.
Mm-hmm.
I want the people that are watching to get connected with you and see your journey and how you have begun, well, to live the life that God declared for you to live and how anyone can do the same thing that's watching. But to do that, they got to overcome something, right? Fear. Fear is gripping people right now.
That's right.
Do you find, Reuben, in your years of coaching and mentoring, that becomes a big obstacle for people?
It's absolutely a big obstacle. Danger is real, but fear is a choice.
Mm.
See, danger, a lion coming, that's dangerous. But fear is, what is the unknown? And a lot of people are not taking action because of the unknown.
A mentor in my life said to me that fear is an emotion designed to move you in a direction. We have to recognize it for what it is. It's not alive and breathing. It has no power over you except the power you give it over you. It is an emotion.
None of us to get out of here alive. We have to die to get out of life. So it's up to us to live our best life. And you can't let fear stop you. That's one of the things I had to deal with when I was told I'm having trouble with the kids. Can you take the boys? It's like, well, yeah, they're my sons. I'll take them. So I took them, and at that point in time, people thought I was crazy. I mean, how are you going to go to school full-time, work the police department, and raise two boys? At the time, they were 8 and 5.
You had to look beyond the immediate struggle. You had to see it for what it was. You had to not be afraid by it.
Exactly.
And you had to realize that you were going to master it, or it was going to master you.
I chose to stand up. No matter what the struggle was, I chose to stand up. That's what I tell you, anyone out there, stand up. Don't let whatever it is that's getting to you get to you. It's only a short time. We're only here for a short time on life.
Wow.
What we have to do is get past that fear and be willing to take action. And that's why I love these individuals, because when I started working with them and I heard all of the things that they had overcome and the stories that they have lived through, I knew we had to create a book. I knew we had to share this information.
And it sounds like there are many different stories here. Something invaded your timeline. Something happened. where you could look back and say, okay, this was a defining moment. This was a time when it all changed. What was that for you?
For me, I was a prison guard for 10 years. And I needed Christmas off with my 3-year-old daughter. And my boss said, you either have to work 3 to 11. And I said, not work. And I said, no, sir, I'll work the 7 to 3 shift. He said, that's not what I asked you. And I repeated it again. I said, I'm going to work the 7 to 3 shift, and then I'll be home at 3:30 to pick her up. And it was at that moment that he said, look at you. And I said, look at me what? He said, you're acting like an inmate. And I said, what did you say? He said, you look like an inmate.
Wow.
And I said, don't insult me like that. And he said, if you don't like it, leave. And that was the decision I made. I walked out of that job, and I started another business. And I just made up my mind because life is too short, and I hated every day of going to work.
Yeah.
And I wanted Christmas off with my 3-year-old daughter.
You made a decision.
I made a decision to live my life on my terms and not let other people run my life on their terms. Because what I find is I was blaming the prison for keeping me there overtime. I was blaming the prison for making me work late. I was blaming the prison for making me work on my daughter's Christmas. But really, it was my fault, because so many times in life, we allow them. And what I was just sharing with somebody today is if they're paying you to do it and you're showing up, that's your fault.
Yeah.
So as soon as you punch that clock and they're paying you, they own you. And there comes a time in your life when you have to decide, I'm going to own my life. I wasn't helping people.
Right.
I was babysitting people. And there had to be a change.
There's a lot of people trading hours for dollars.
Yeah.
Damon.
So there's a lot of people living someone else's dream.
Yes.
I heard it like this at a training I was conducting. One of the gentlemen stood up and said that there are so many people who are trading their God-given equity for money.
That's good.
Wow. Somebody else's job.
Yes.
Well, can anyone relate?
Yes.
Everybody said yes.
Yeah.
Were you all kind of at that place in your life? I mean, was there a moment, or maybe there's a moment now where you say, geez, I got to get with it.
For me, it was a year ago in January. And 3 months before that, I had gotten sick. But it was all the stress and everything I was dealing with. Looking out here at, oh, you need money to pay your rent, to pay your car, to do, you know, tuition, all of these things. And I was just crumbling under the weight. So I was off work for 3.5 months. And I remember having a dream. And in that dream, I stepped out my house and went to my car. And as I opened the door, there was this huge earthquake. And I saw my house crumbling. And I was like, oh my, because I dream and things that I dream come true. So I was like, oh my God, everything I'm trying to hold up is going to fall down. And I was in such a place of desperation. I just felt with everything in my body, if I go back, I won't make it. And I made the decision. I released my job and decided back in January that I had said yes to my life and yes to my assignment.
That's good.
And when I was on the second leg of my journey, I became an author of a book, nominated for an honorary doctorate, traveled to speak, and wow. Not only that.
So many times in life we say no, and God all the while is waiting for us to say yes. Mm-hmm. Yes to change. Yes to a different way of thinking. Yes to receive his blessings and what he has in store for us. Carlenia, in the book, you talk about the powerful conditioning of your childhood that left you unable to make even the simplest of decisions. Talk to us about that.
I used to doubt every single thing that I did, and I had absolutely no confidence. And I had no frame of reference for my experience. I didn't realize that I had suffered a lot of mental and emotional abuse.
Okay.
Because it was just my life. So I repeated many patterns because I didn't trust myself. And even when I saw that I was repeating patterns, I didn't know how to interrupt the patterns.
Got it.
Right? Yeah.
You know, it sometimes takes what I'll call a divine interruption for us to get out of the cycle of struggle that so many people are in.
It's not too hard to do things if you just put your mind to it. You know, one of the problems I had, and I'll speak about in the book a little bit, is I had to learn how to ask for help. And I think that's one thing that people don't do a lot of, is ask for help. If we just swallow our pride sometimes and ask, we'll be surprised what it gets us.
Sure. Do a lot of people go through life limited because they are afraid to ask?
I believe they do. A lot of people feel like they'll be looked down upon. Mm. You know, you had to ask for help, so you're not as smart. You've got problems, you know. Good people don't ask for help. People that are smart don't ask for help. And that's so far from the truth.
Robin, us men have a hard time, you know, asking for help. Why is it that women are so able to ask for help and men are not? What would you say to that?
Well, sometimes it's not easy for women to ask for help either.
Mm.
And that was my situation. And I came across the quote that said, be strong enough to stand alone, smart enough to know when you need help, and brave enough to ask for it. And that made the difference for me.
Wow.
Asking for help doesn't make you weak. Asking for help is actually a sign of strength, because we were never designed to be on our own. We were created to be dependent beings.
That's good.
Dependent on God.
Mm-hmm.
And so he puts us in situations where we have to ask for help. And so by not doing that, we cut ourselves off from our next level, from times of elevation, from opportunities.
You know, a lot of people are at the place right now today. They are needing help. They're trying to work some stuff out, and they find themselves at the same place time and time and time again. I like to say it this way. When we come to the end of ourselves, we must ask for help. And I would believe that God will sometimes let us come to the end of ourselves.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
That we can finally get it that,
yeah,
except for him, we really have no help at all.
Yep.
But I believe he also puts in our path people to help us.
People need heavenly touches on earth.
Explain.
When you're in that dark place, in that hopelessness, it's not enough to just hear that God loves you. You need to feel it.
Okay.
And God uses people or situations that people will come into your life to give you that
God touch.
That heavenly touch, his mm-hmm. touch, his love
mm-hmm.
here on earth.
Yeah. That's this man right
that
here.
That was this man right here for me.
If I am at that place that you describe, and I'm down and I'm depressed and I'm discouraged and I'm hopeless, what's your story in this book going to do for me?
My story in this book is going to show you that even when all you can do is cry, is whisper the name of Jesus, that just whisper is enough to get you to the next day.
Wow.
And it will string moments and days and months together until the point that you will actually be living off of other people's belief in you.
Right.
Until you can get to your own belief.
Powerful. Powerful. There is no greater way to live your best life than for you to convince me that there is one. What evidence can you provide for me that's going to cause me to want to get on your track? Who wants to start?
I will. I'll start. I'm going to talk to you from the perspective of the person who, by everybody else's account, you have a great life. You see, I work for a Fortune 500 company. I'm single with no kids. I pretty much have an income where I can do what I want. But I'm miserable.
Mm.
And there's something wrong with me. And I know there's something wrong with me. But I'm too afraid to ask for help. And so I get to the point where I decide that if this is all there is to life, I don't want to be here anymore.
Right. A lot of people, right where you just described, a lot of people.
And some people will take the road that I took, and they will attempt to take their life.
My God.
And I did that, Damon, not once, but twice. Now, luckily for me, I failed at it, and I'm still here, you know, to share and to talk about it. But that diagnosis was clinical depression.
Wow.
And I've always been a person of faith. And as a Christian, that made that diagnosis even more difficult.
Right.
Because I felt ungrateful.
Got it.
You have this great life. What could you possibly be depressed about? And I had many people tell me, why are you depressed? You have everything. people would love to have your life. And that made me feel even worse.
Wow.
And so I stopped talking about it. And that's what led me to that point of hopelessness and that point of attempting to take my life. And so I say, your life is not defined by the job that you have or the things that you have. If you know that there's something in wrong, and mental illness is biochemical. It had nothing to do with my faith. It didn't mean I loved God any less. But that's what I felt. How could I be depressed as a Christian? Christians shouldn't be depressed. And so I wouldn't even take the help that God had made available to me.
You're here today.
Yes.
Having, I'm going to say it this way, miraculously survived something that is commonplace for too many people. There's a lot of people, as you were speaking, were bearing witness with you because they're there now. And if we only knew how much God loved us, if we only knew what He planned for us, if we could only see what He sees, which is not the now, but God's life for us, the best life.
It's not enough to live life. It's not even enough to live your good life. Your job, live your best life.
That's good.
That's why I put this book together.
That's good. Rowan, you're up.
What I have to say, Damon, is if you're feeling down like you said you were, if you're feeling helpless and hopeless and you feel like everything's lost, I'm going to tell you this, life is a fight. And what I find is people in a fight, have gone through a fight, and I've talked to some people and they say, I've never had anything happen to me. Well, I'm telling them, hang on.
It's coming.
Because it's coming. And as Muhammad Ali said, it's the punch you don't see coming that knocks you out.
Mm-hmm.
And we get hit and we never see it coming. The punch I never saw coming was receiving a text message from my 15-year-old daughter who was brought up in a good Christian family, who was a gifted athlete. Talked about between her freshman and sophomore year about by college basketball scouts. She was so gifted. And I received a text message. And the text message said, hey, Dad, I'm pregnant. That was a punch I didn't see coming.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody expected to see that. My 15-year-old daughter, who hadn't even started to live life, pregnant. And I remember that day, I was at New England Patriots were playing, and I was at the stadium, and there was 50,000 fans. But I remember looking up and saying, man, I'm flat on my back, knocked on the canvas of life, knocked out. I could have heard a pin drop. And this is what I heard. I heard people say in my head, she lost everything. She's a loser. She's going to have nothing. The baby's going to have nothing. And what I find is when you go after your dreams and go after your goals, people are going to say that to you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, when you go after your dreams and your goals and you get beat up, you're fighting a shadow that's not even there. The shadow of fear, doubt, past failures, past successes.
Mm-hmm.
What other people are going to think.
Sure.
And we're getting beat by opponents that aren't even there. Like me, I was counting myself out.
Gotcha. So we are oftentimes fighting the greatest enemy, which happens to sometimes be ourselves.
It's ourselves.
Is that a mindset?
It is a mindset. We start counting ourselves out, mm-hmm. right? I'm a failure. I'm a loser. Mm-hmm. I'm not good enough. Whatever it is. And I often tell people, no, it's the people in the stands.
Mm-hmm.
See, because people go to a boxing match, to see a fight. All they want to do, if you go to a match, you're going to see one thing happen, somebody get knocked out.
That's right.
In life, the people that are going to be in the stands watching you fight, and it's sad to say, but it's going to be your friends, your family members, your coworkers. They want to see you get knocked out because they want you to get ahead of life as long as you don't get ahead of them.
That's good.
You know, they just want to see a fight.
That's good.
You know, and it's sad. And there was people in my ring, and there was people in the stands when I was going through this that wanted to see me get knocked out. And what I realized was when I was flat on my back on the canvas of life, ready to count myself out, it was my daughter. She was in my corner saying, Dad, get, I need you now, Dad. I don't need you when I'm shooting baskets. I don't need you when I'm doing good. Dad, you said you'd be there for me. I'm 15 years old and pregnant, Dad. I need you.
That's good.
And when people are ready to quit, Damon, when people are ready to give up on life and whatever it is, my question to them is, who's in your corner? What friend, what family member, what client, what person you haven't even met yet? That, like Ruben says, when you die, which we all believe we're going to go to a greater place, and there's a wall with all the pictures, and you say to God, who's those pictures up there? Those are the people you were supposed to touch.
Wow.
Those were your assignment.
Wow. And I believe that, and this is for everybody watching, and certainly for us here, but for you, that God will let you go through something, survive it, to become victorious, that you can be a blessing to someone else. Isn't that so true?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I've always had a very compassionate spirit. But I had to experience the absolute low of the low so that I can walk into that dark place and grab somebody else by the hand and say, look, it's not because I'm so good, but there's a reason, and the devil is trying to block you from getting to that reason.
That's good.
But I'm here to take you to the light, so I'm going to grab you by the hand. Because, see, this dark place, we were never designed to stay there.
That's good.
So I'm walking to this dark place with you. I'm not afraid of that dark place anymore. I'm going to grab you by the hand, and we're going to walk into the light together.
Powerful. Mm-hmm. Powerful. 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 As I'm listening to your stories, as you're sharing with me your story to help encourage me representing so many people watching that are struggling through a mess, I hear the love of God, a love that can penetrate anything, a love that can cover anything, a love that is able and capable of bringing restoration and healing and peace to one's mind. I hear how fear can grip us when in reality we have to stay focused on who we are, what we've been called to do, and stand up sometime is the best thing that we can do to not quit, get off that mat, and fight another day. Life is a battle. It is a fight. We have to understand what fighting is all about. We have to know who it is that we're fighting against. And sometimes the greatest battle we will have is fighting with ourselves.
Biggest battle.
And I discover that listening is so important. Knowing what to listen for. Know what information you should be seeking and from whom. But I'm not through the tunnel yet.
Gotcha.
I need you to give me something. It's going to cause me to believe that this book can change my life. I want to live my best life. And that seems like a million miles away. What do you say to me?
What I'm going to say is simple. These individuals represent everyday individuals. I never had an idea to put together a collective book. The reason I put this book together, Damon, was because after hearing Carlinia tell me about what she had been through, after hearing Robin talk about the depression and her wanting to take her life and then realizing that her job wasn't to take her life, but to take her life to the next level, after hearing Dorian talk about how to be a leader and stand up in his life after being through so much, or hearing Roland saying that he was going to be a single dad raising a daughter, and all of these people told him he couldn't do it. But what I knew after I came in contact with these individuals was this book would change people's lives. This book had the direction, because in the chapters there are workbooks that they could do to actually answer questions, because a lot of times the change is in the questions that we asked ourselves. How did I get here? What can I do different? Who can I team up with? What is my vision? All of these questions are in this book from these reflecting, insightful individuals. When I came in contact with them, it's not that I motivated them to write the book. They wrote it, motivated me to make sure the book got written.
I want to thank every one of you for being here, for sharing your heart, your thoughts, your mind, your experiences, your story, your struggle. And the only question that we have to answer right now is whether or not we're going to stay where we are, or whether or not we're going to choose to move forward with the Master. He's got the plans already laid out for you. He's got the decision before you to make. And that is, are you going to begin to live your, not your good life, not just any life, but your best life? And it can begin right now. You feel it. Is this all there really is? Is this what your life was meant to be? The reality is we have the potential to tap into a way of living, higher thinking, better living than you've ever known. This is what we call the best life. Dr. Reuben West and his black belt speakers that I sat with today and that you saw on this program, they are ready to lead us into living our best life possible. In this inspirational guidebook that you saw here today, Live Your Best Life, Dr. Reuben West will show you how you can overcome life's greatest adversities and experience the best life that God has to offer you. Each chapter features a true-to-life story of triumph and transformation, the kind of transformation that you need today. From broken relationships to ruined finances to negative diagnoses in our bodies, these are real stories from real people who've discovered the power of a real God that is going to meet your needs just like they did theirs in a place of your greatest need. As you read this book, you're going to gain a holy boldness and a power to make those changes in your life, to experience the life you've always wanted. You're also going to get the companion DVD. It's a training series in which Dr. West and his team share the practical steps that you can take beginning right now, today, to reclaim and rebuild your life into the best life that God has in store for you. The entire video series, it's four parts that you can use to revolutionize your life. Or look, give it to somebody as a gift that you know is wanting to experience the power and the joy and the peace and the boldness and the promises that God has for them too. But that's not all. I want to share with you my entire full-length interview with Dr. West and these amazing black belt instructors. It's hard to limit an entire hour into 22 minutes like you saw today. But I know that you're going to be blessed when you hear and watch each of the dynamic and powerful steps and solutions and principles that these women and these men, they shared with me. I'm talking about wisdom and insight that they've gained in their own journey that's going to help you discover yours. I promise you, it's yours today for your gift of only $35 or more. It's my desire to share with you the best and the brightest of people who have strategies and solutions that really work, and then to put into your hands tools and resources and materials that'll make the difference in your life. This is one thing that I know will make a difference in your life today. I'm going to ask you to call. Your seed allows me to get something to you, and then together we're able to get these amazing stories from these amazing people to the world. You know, nothing's going to change until you make a difference by making one change in your life that can change everything else, and that begins with one simple call. I want to encourage you to decide today that it's time to live your best life. And if we could just know that we made that little bit of impact, that we got just that little bit to you today, then we have accomplished what God set us out to do today. And we thank you for investing this time with us, for allowing us to come into your domain, to move some stuff around, to remind you that, oh, the future's so bright. Regardless of what you're facing now, God's got something great, better in store for you. May God richly bless you. I'm Damon Davis. This is One-on-One. We'll see you again next time.
Thanks for joining us on our One-on-One broadcast. For more information about the guests and products you heard about today, please visit our website at damondavis.com.